where they cut the Moran Mechelek Aleph, Terek Kuf Lamed Gimel. Rabbi Ezal goes, if you recall, we mentioned something about the Pasuk last week. We'll start the Torah today. That the Pasuk Vo'irach Tzadikim Ko'er Noiga, the path of Tzadikim is like a shining light, Hoylech Vo'er Ad Nochein Hayoyim, which progresses and continues to give off light until the light of day, meaning that the path of Tzadikim gives off light even at night, even through the darkness, and their path shines a light. Rabbi Ezal says, Ki Hashemesh, this Torah is very, all of them are interesting, but some Kuf Lamed Gimel. And it's a whole new way of looking at life that Rabbi Ezal presents here. Ki Hashemesh Biatzmo Meiro Bimekoimo Bishove Bahascholas Hayoyim Ubem Tzayim. The sun itself, gives off light in the same manner in the middle of the day as it does in the beginning of the day. The sun doesn't change from morning to afternoon to night. Rak hamenia hu machmas ha'oretz hamafsekes bein bnei adam ubein hashemesh. What prevents us from receiving the full power of the sun's rays at one point in the day, different from a different point in the day? It's from the earth that the menia comes. It's the manner in which the earth is affecting the sun, the angle that they're hitting each other. That's what's determining whether we get the rays or not. Alkane, and therefore, Ein ho'er mispashet kol kach b'tchilas hayoyim, the light does not
radiate,
does not diffuse that well in the beginning of the day, rak miktsas, only a little bit, ad shenispashet ol haaretz, until gradually, as the sun rises, the way we look at it, it starts, in other words, first the light is just hitting, it seems like a little piece of the earth, and as the sun comes up, it seems that it's the angle is spreading out more and more, until it's in the center where its rays are going all sides, everybody's getting hit by the sun. Rabbi Ezal says, Kein hatzadik, so too about the light of the tzaddik. This is how the sun works. This is how the light of a tzaddik works also. Hu biatzmoi meir tamid. The light of the tzaddik is shining at all times, constantly. Rak hamenia machmas hamikablin. The only difficulty, the only thing that distinguishes between how much light of the tzaddik is received or not, is dependent on the recipient. Not on the tzaddik, on the recipient. And just like by the sun, we said that the mania, the difficulty comes from the earth, here too the difficulty comes from the earthliness of the person, the atzius, the earthliness of the person, the physical life that the person is living. That's what sets up barriers in preventing him from receiving the full potency, the full power of the sun, of the light of the tzaddik. Rabbi Ezal says, Ki bnei adam mishukoyin b'olam hazeh. People are stooped in worldliness. V'alkein einam yicholim l'kabel oir hatzadik. And that's what prevents them from being able to receive the full measure of the light of the tzadik. V'hu inyin shamru b'gemara. This corresponds to what it says in the Sechta Megillah. Al posuk Megillah afo. There's a posuk which says that the world is compared to, the world is compared to like a megillah, like a piece of parchment, folded over, and then folded over again, and folded over again. So the Gemara says, Kad Aifislo, when you spread it out, it extends to such a degree. Kad Kalfislo, when you fold it over, it becomes smaller. Nimtza, the Gemara says over there. Oh, there it's talking about the Torah. Just a second. Dav Chof Aleph, Amar Aleph, Amar Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda said, Dorish Mori Baramar, my dechsev this that David HaMelech says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, L'chol techlo ro'isi keitz, rechav ha'mitzvoysech ma'id. David HaMelech says, to everything I see as being finite, however, rechava mitzvoysecha ma'ayid, the mitzvahs are very broad. In other words, they seem infinite. The Torah seems infinite. So the Gemara says, Dovar zeh omrei David, v'leipirishai. This statement was made by David HaMelech, and he didn't clarify it. Omrei Iyai, v'leipirishai. Iyai said it, and he didn't clarify it. Omrei Yechezkel Navi said something like this, and he didn't clarify it, v'leipirishai. An shebo zechariye ben adai, u'pirishai. And the Gemara says, Omra David, we just showed where he said it. Where did Eli said it? It brings a pasuk. Where did Yecheskel say it? Vayifarish Eisalafonai vehiksuva ponim vachar. Yecheskel Rabbi said that Hashem explained to him the Torah that was written on one side and on the other side. Vekosav aleha kinim vahagah vehek, and it was written on it kinim vahagah vehek. That's what he says. And the Gemara darshins a whole drush on that. Then it says ad shebo Zechariah ben Adai, until Zechariah ben Adai came along. Uperashai, he explained what this means. What does it mean? Rochavam tzasechamoi. The pasuk says by Zechariah vayomer alai, Hashem said to me, mo atoraya, what do you see? Vayomer, and I said ani roya megila afo, I see a folded over piece of parchment, a doubled over piece of parchment. Orko esrim ba'ama, its length is 20 ama, v'rochbo eser ba'ama, its width is 10 amas, because it's folded over, which means when you would fold it apart, when you, in other words, picture a sefer. Now I see it as being 10, 20 in length, 10 in width. If I open it up, how much is it going to be coming with?
20.
20 in width. V'chi pashtislo, when I open it up, havalo esrin besrin, it becomes 20 by 20. Uksiv hiksuva ponim vachar, and it says that it's written on both sides. V'chi kalfislo kamahavilo arboim besrin, so that when you split it, because the writing was on both sides, if you would slice it in the middle and put it apart as two separate pieces with writing only on one side, it would become
40.
20 by 40. The length would remain the same, correct? But widthwise, it stretches out now to 40. Each piece was 20, correct? So this is what he said. And there's another pasuk which says in Yeshaya Novi, who measured in his vessel water? Just a second. V'shamayim bazeres tikoin, and the heavens with the zeres. The zeres is the tiniest finger. Hashem made the shamayim with his zeres, with the tiniest finger. So now Rashi Kodesh explains midas oilom chatzi amo al chatzi amo. We see from here that what's the measurements of the world compared to the Torah? The world measures as half an amo by half an amo. Why? Say v'chashoy, go figure it out. Kamo chatziyama al chatziyama yesh b'megillah. How many little squares of half an amma by half an amma are there in 40 amas by 20 amas? Rashi Kodesh says, you'll come out to 3,200. 3,200 such squares within an area of 40 by 20. You figure out mathematically. In other words, we said it was 40 by 20, which means what's the area?
800.
Length times width. 800 square amos means you have 3,200 halves.
What square
3,200
quarters?
What
square amos? Four little.
Exactly. In other words, if you figure it out mathematically, that's what it's going to come out to. Just a second. Ketzad, asay me esrim amo rechav ritzulis shal rechav chatzi amo harikar arboim. He shows you mathematics. So we see that the world comes out to be half an amma by half an amma, which is the size of a zeres. A zeres, half an amma. An amma, we said, is about 18 inches, 9 inches. Just a second. Times 80 is 3,200. That's the area of 3,200. So it comes out that there are 3,200
half
amas. Then the question is, why do they call a zeres a half amma? Right to the thumb of a spread hand is half a cubit of 6 hand breadths. Exactly. That's what it's considered, about 9 inches. A normal hand going from here to here is about 9 inches. Okay, so the Gemara said over there, if you recall, we said that the Torah is like a Megillah, for the Torah extends 3,200 zeres. Now look what Rabbeinu is all saying here. V'huinyin shamar b'gemara al pasuk, on the pasuk in Zechariah, in Zechariah, Megillah afo, kadayfislo, kadkalfislo, nimtza, kol ha'ilam kuloi, kezeres aleph, megimel alafim umasayim, mitayra. Which means that if it says that Hashem created the world with a zeres, and if the Torah is 3,200 zereses, it means the Torah is one, the world is one 3,200th of the size of the Torah. Imagine what kind of proportion that is. Now listen for a second. Rav Elazar says, Rak shehazeres koton shehu ha'olam oimed b'fnei moer ha'inayim. This little zeres, this little area, which is the world, stands right in front of a person's eyes, and it prevents the person from being able to see the tremendous light of the Torah. Although we're saying that the light of the Torah is so infinitely bigger than the worldliness measures a zeres. The Torah is 3,200 zereses. Still, the worldliness has the power to block out the light of the Torah, to prevent the person from being able to see the light of the Torah. Rabbi Nizal explains now. V'lechayre kosher. At first, it seems difficult. Eich yuchal dover koton kaze lahafsik v'lachzeis b'fnei dover gadol kaze. How could such a small item block out such a large item? In other words, how does it prevent us from being able to see the light if, in ratio, this is 50 million times bigger? Rabbi Nizal says, "Shegodel kamo alafin kovin kamo." It's thousands of times bigger, 3,200 times bigger. Ki kol ha'olam kulay katan ma'ayin keneged ha'Torah gedol kenegedai alafin alafin pamin. In other words, the world is so infinitesimally small compared to the Torah, which is so much bigger than it, based on these proportions we just said. Achu kamo shol hamuva. Rabbi Nizal says, however, this corresponds to the well-known parable. That what? Kigoyim matbei oktana. If a person takes a small coin, a dime, a nickel, im tachzik oiso neged einecho, if you put it right in front of your eye, yimna milirois har gadol. A person standing in front of a huge mountain, he can see, his eye can see the whole mountain. Take a little penny and put it in front of each eye. How much of the mountain can you see? Zero. Why? Because it's right in front of the eye. Because it's put right in front of the eye. Rabbi Nizal says, "Kamay matvei aktano im tachzik oiso neged einecho yimna milirois har gadol." It'll prevent you from being able to see even a big mountain. Afal pisha har gadol alofin pomim kamay matvei aktano. Although the mountain is thousands of times larger than this small coin, ach machmas shehamatvei oimedes neged einov, because the coin is placed right in front of the eye, Alkein chaytzetzes b'fnei riyas ha'inayim. It blocks the vision. Ad she'ein oiroya hadavar ha'godol mimenu kama pomim. To the point where it prevents the person from being able to see an item that's thousands of times bigger than it. Kein, so too. Kishimagia ubo eloi lamazeh. When a person comes into this world, nishar shokua shom b'havoy ha'ilam. The person allows himself to become stooped in worldliness. And it appears to him like there's nothing better than this. And this worldliness, which is so small, it's so minor in significance and everything, prevents the person from being able to see the unbelievably large light of the Torah, which is thousands of times bigger than the radiance that's given off by this world. In other words, this world, it's not like it's total darkness. It does have some light, but the level of light in this world is infinitesimal compared to the light of the Torah. And it's exactly like the example with the sun. It's the earth, the positioning of the earth, that blocks us from being able to see the full light of the sun. Although the sun, the size of the sun physically, is thousands of times bigger than earth. You study science, right? The sun is an earth. So then it seems ridiculous that from any point on earth, you should be able to see the sun without any problem. And yet, because the earth is close to us, the earth has the power to block out this item, which is much, much bigger than the earth itself. And it's also like the other example which we gave about the coin in front of the eye. Zehu, Rabbi Nizal says, this is the interpretation of this pasuk. V'oirach tzadikim koir noiga. The path of tzadikim is like the light of the sun, a burning light. Kor Noga Mamish. It's literally like a burning light, Kemoy HaShemesh, like the light of the sun, Shemeiro Tomid, which is always giving off light. Rak Shehamaniya Machmas Ha'oretz HaMafsekes Kanal V'mini is only because of the earth, which is Masi. Af She'oretz Ktana Neged HaShemesh, although the Oretz is much, much smaller than the Shemesh, Ukemo Shalanao, as we explained before. Rabbi Elazar says, Kein ha-tzadikim, so too with the tzadikim, me'irim tomid. They're always giving off light. Rak sheho oretz, haynu ha'ilam hazeh, mafsik milirois oyer ha-godol shelahem. It's the ha'ilam hazeh, the worldliness, that the person becomes stooped in, that stands up in front of his eyes like a coin to block him from being able to see this great mountain. Va'af she'oyram godel ma'oid, although the light of the tzaddik is very, very great, v'hoylam hazeh kuloi b'chlal, hu katonu pochois ma'oid ne'ed oram ha'godel, and all of this worldliness is very, very tiny in comparison, in ratio, to the brightness of the light of the tzaddik. Im kol zeh still, hu mafsik u'moinea b'lirois oyram. It prevents, it stops the person from being able to see the light of the tzaddik, Kemoshol hamadbeah hanal, as the example with the madbeah, with the coin that we gave before. The cholzeh, all of this is because machmas shehoilam oimed befnei enof v'chaytzeitz beponav. The world is right; it stands right before the person's eyes. He's close to it. He becomes close to it, and it acts as a barrier. To the point where a person can't see the light of the Torah, the light of the tzaddik, which is much, much larger. Avol im yisalek hamafsik hakoton mineged einov. But if the person will have the brains to remove this small coin that's right in front of his eyes, dahinu sheyata einov min ha'ilam, he'll turn his eyes away from all the silliness in this world, all the worldliness. V'lo yistakel al ha'ilam, he won't allow his eyes to become glued to the worldliness. Rak yorim roshay, he'll pick his head up. V'yavibia einov, he'll lift up his eyes. V'yistakel lemalo min ha'ilam hamafsik v'chaytzeitz, and he'll look above this worldliness which is blocking his eye. He'll look upwards to heaven. Azai yizkel lirois oyer hagodol v'hamuflog shel ha'Torah v'hatzadikim. That's when he'll be zeichet to see the unbelievable light of the Torah and the tzadikim. Ki be'emes oyram godol alofim u'revavois ponim mikol ha'ilam hazeh v'avolom kanal. Because in truth, even in quantity, all the beauty that a person sees in food and in girls and women and all the pleasures of this world, quantity-wise, the Torah has much, much more pleasure to offer than all of these things combined. It's not like a 10-to-1 ratio. It's 3,200 times as much. All the taivas in this world are 1/3,200th compared to the light of the Torah. That's the ratio. The light of the Torah or the light of the tzaddikim. Rock. The only problem is she'olam hazeh oimed lifnei einov einu maniach oisei klal lahatay seinov l'stakel amal alor ha'Torah tzadikim. The problem is that the person gets too close to the olam hazeh, where it stands right in front of his face, right in front of his eyes, and it blocks out. It doesn't give him an opportunity to turn away. He doesn't give himself the allowance to turn away to look for a different kind of light, which would be much, much greater. K'moshol hamadbeah haktana hanal mamish ha'imedes lifnei einayim u'mafsekes milores ha'argodol kanal, as the example we gave before. Avol, however, Rabbi Elazar says, Bekal yuchal lesalek hamadbeah mineged einov. If a person would want, how difficult is it to just take the coin away from your eyes? V'tekef yira ha'har ha'godol mimenu, and immediately the person would get to see the big mountain. In that example, a guy puts a coin in front of your eyes. What do? You just put it aside, you can see the mountain. So too is far as worldliness versus the light of the Torah, shebahavora bi'alma, with a slight little passing motion, a person could remove the whole world from before his eyes, in other words, take it out of his, blocking his eyes. V'oz yizkeh lirois oyer ha'godol shel ha'Torah v'atzadikim, shebeirin b'chol ha'ilamos kulam b'oyerom godol ma'ayim. And then the person will get to see the great light of the Torah and the tzadikim, which lights up all the heavenly worlds, and all the heavenly spheres are all lit up by the Torah. This person would avail himself to be able to see that light. V'havein ma'ayid. Rabbi Nizal says, understand this very, very well, because we just gave you a very powerful piece of information. We put this in perspective for you in a way where you see clear proof from the Gemara as to what the actual ratio is. In other words, it's not like it's that big a test, the religion business versus the worldliness. The ratio quantity-wise is 3,200 to 1, compared to all, you take all the pleasures of the world, everything that this world has to offer, wrap it into a package, and the Torah is at least 3,200 times bigger. Elamai, you don't understand. To you, it looks like a big test. You know what? It looks like it's such a big test to compete the religion against all my physical desires, television, this, that, all baloney. You know why? Because it's right in front of you. You don't want to allow yourself to step back and look a little bit objectively. Because if you ever stepped back and had a little yeshiva, what do we mean by stepping back? In spite of this, take yourself away from this world for a minute. Just step back to give an objective look. And allow your eye to see out above this little coin. You'll see a mountain there that's millions of times bigger than the coin and much more precious than the coin in being able to give off radiance. V'chein shamati b'shem ha'Baal Shem Tov. Rabbi Nizal said, I heard, said, told over the name of the Baal Shem Tov, she'omar, that he once said, oy va'voy, woe, woe, ki ha'olam mole me'oyrois, v'seidois niflon v'nairoim. This world is full of tremendous, magnificent lights and tremendous secrets. V'hayad haktano oimedes befnei ha'inayim. And there's a very small hand that's standing in front of a person's eyes. U'ma'akeves miliros oirois hagdolim. And it's preventing him from being able to see the tremendous lights that are available in this world. Imagine this sforim available that could take a person, shoot him right through the ceiling, right through the eighth floor, through the sky. Give him such pleasure if he's willing to take away that little curtain, that little coin, that little hand that's right in front of his eyes that's not letting him see. How does he do it? Only through Yeshiva Das, only through his bitterness, through Tefillah. That's what helps, just to remove the curtain. It's not a battle. Just get the little curtain, the little blockage in front of your eyes, you'll see something that you never dreamed could exist. You'll see that the match between Ruchnius and Gashmius, it's a joke, it's not a battle, there's no comparison. There's no pleasure that worldliness can offer that could compete in any way with the pleasure that the spiritual world has to offer. No comparison. Well, we should be zeicha to understand this and to apply it to ourselves. Go ahead.
Didn't we learn the Torah of Ruchnius?
Right.
How can you say it's 3,200 times?
The answer is, again, anytime you see a number, obviously there's its symbolism. 3,200, the time is 32,000, Lamed Beis Nesivos HaChachma, you understand? It doesn't mean that it's confined to that. Mm-hmm. It means that it's a mushel, you understand? He showed that to show that the Torah is basically the Lamed Beis Nesivos HaChachma. Elef va'alefcha chachma. 3,200, it's that symbolism. We're going into the thousands. Right? That's all it is. It's not that it's a contradiction, you understand? This is one way of looking at it, that's a different way. But in other words, look how even when we talk in actual numbers, look at the comparison. The Gemara tells you clearly. So the kasha is, why is it? In other words, I say, I learned the Gemara, and I said, to me, it looks like the Gemara is full of baloney, because when it comes to a choice of eating ice cream, in other words, sitting down, walking to Carvel, buying an ice cream, coming home, it's a half-hour walk, and it's a bother, it's an expense, and yet I enjoy it much more than sitting at home in an air-conditioned room, you know, and learning Torah. How? If the Gemara said that this light is so much bigger, why is it that I find it differently? That's the kasha that you're left with once you learn the Gemara. Rabbi Nizal, this Torah shows, I'll show you what the competition is. There is no competition. It's true that this is much bigger. But I'll show you, look at the sun. Which is bigger, the sun or the penny you're holding in your hand? And yet it's possible for the penny to be positioned in a place where you could see the penny and not see the sun. When? But it's right in front of your eyes. Whereas if you would just step back, all it takes is a little stepping back, and you'd be able to get the whole panorama, see the whole view, and see that that's much bigger and much better.
Just from this the sheet is, how do you see the Yetzer?
You don't. You don't. Very honestly, you don't. Although, again, knowing what the problem is three-quarters of the solution, you understand? If you know that that's the problem, it's right in front of my eyes, it means, what do I have to do? You have to think rationally. What do I have to do? He said, just take away the penny. meaning just push aside the Arab Hazah for a minute. Give yourself a rest. Allow yourself to stop for a minute. Rabbi Nosson says, that's the problem with this, with people in this world. The Satan gets them into a chase. He gets them into a mode of running. They get up, the alarm rings, I'm late, run. Breakfast quick, run to work. Work, the minute I get out of work, I gotta run home, I'm hungry. Run home, get home, sit down, rush. There's a TV show on that I... He puts them in a mode of rushing, Rabbi Zal says, and that's how he wipes them out. Why? Because Rabbi Zal says the Satan knows that if a guy ever pulls the cork and says, I'm willing to go through this, but I want to stop for a half hour a day. I just want to sit, rest, and think. The Sutton's job is finished. The Sutton's wiped out. Because if a person ever stopped to review his life for a half hour, just say, what am I doing? What's my... I'm an animal. I'm a cow. I wake up, work to eat, eat to work. It's sick. It's a perverted cycle. He knows if the person ever did that, that stopping, that remove, put it aside for a second, you'll have the whole answer. That's why, that's what he tries not to allow you. Not to give you a chance to put it aside. And the only way to put it aside, if you look at other Torahs, look at the word, is Nishanah, his spiritus. Be alone. Drop your oil of Hazan, take the money out of your pockets. Shabbos. Take the money out of your pockets. Drop the Gashmias for a minute and allow yourself. Take a person who's not sure with Shabbos. Explain to him the pleasure that a religious Jew feels on a Shabbos. Ridiculous. He says it, no comparison to the TV. Rabbi Nosson's answer is because the TV is right in front of his eyes. He just puts it aside for a second. Let him try it. Let him empty out his pockets. No money, no carrying, no touching lights, no car, and taste it. He'll see that the light, the pleasure that you can get from that is much more than you can get from going in a car, going to a movie. No comparison. That's what it is. Baruch Hashem.
And that thing about rushing and everything, that also mean by Baruch Hashem?
100%. Rabbi Nosson said that there are people, even in learning, they don't give them, even in serving Hashem, they don't give themselves a chance to stop. What am I doing? That it has to be, a person has to look to see what's my reason for doing it. Yishlanas, his bitedness. Even before you go into his bitedness, you have to stop. What am I doing now? What I'm doing now is I'm making believe in Shabbos. Every day when I go for a split of this, what I'm doing is I'm taking off the garbage, I'm forgetting the bank that I'm working for, and the wife, and everything is gone, and I'm going to be alone with Hashem. Just like Shabbos is a time frame of being alone with Hashem, in other words, dropping the Gashmias, being alone. His split of this is a place. You select a private place and a private time, and this is only me and Hashem, private.
Listen, like Reuven up from the Nefesh, he says, like review your life, and you think before you're going to do something, how it's going to be, let's say, a long time down the road. And then he says, when this occurs, you elevate fear to its root. What does fear have to do with something like this? You elevate fear, you do know.
Sure, go ahead. Rabbi Nosson has a chapter we could go on where he discusses that about. That's a whole topic. Torah Tezvah or something, where he talks about elevating fear to its cherish, which is Das, through his spiritus. That's a whole thing.
Okay, so he makes it's all in one topic. It's called number 52.
Right. Exactly. It's chapter 15 in Likutei Moharan, where he says a person wants to taste the hidden light has to elevate fear to its origin, which is Das. And he shows how that's Melech B'Mishpot, the whole concept of his spiritus. When we get a chance, we'll talk about that.
It's possible that even a person having a feast in his spiritus, they could still be off track. Meaning that he could still step aside, but not really enough to... He could spend all his time, even in his spiritus, thinking about his work, or thinking about does not really step aside in the right direction.
That's what it is. You just answered your own question. Yes. Yeah. If he's fooling himself. If he's not, in other words, his spider will only work if before you do it, you drop everything. You have to drop what you're doing, disengage all the intravenous that's hooking into all the zift, all the baloney in this world. Take out all the pipes, all the needles, everything, and say, no, it's me and Hashem alone. And I'm going to be open, I'm going to talk very, very openly to Hashem and to myself. I'm not just talking to Hashem. One of the main purposes of his spiritus is that your own ears hear what you're saying. Hear Hashem, bring me close. It goes out of here, into here, everything. And all your Evarim hear that you're begging Hashem, bring me close. And they all react to it.
That's part of the problem. I'm thinking about these things. You can say that over to Hashem, I'm doubting to you, I'm thinking.
Work?
100%.
Something as far as volume, because I know it's like a person is like very quiet. If you don't really have his voice loud, you really don't, you can't really concentrate on what you're saying. Like if you don't have that
So something as far as having it like ladder or something.
Definitely. In other words, number one, Rebbe Zal stressed that his spiritus is supposed to be hakoil moira kavona. The preference is definitely loud, better than low. No question about it. However, and that would give him the concentration. Whereas if you sit back, Rav Nilson Zal, in one place in Kechvir or something, he smashes to bits those idiots who think that tefillah is something you just sit back. You know, it's casual. That kind of thing. And Rav Nilson Zal said that because people made fun of him, the story is brought that he was super. He would come into a shul and he'd go big. And when people have said baloney, and they once told Rav Nilson Zal, what about Rav Nilson Zal? Look how you don't hear him davening with such kindness. And Rav Nilson Zal told them, you're comparing yourself to him? Shemen b'chashoy, oil, when it flows, it doesn't bubble at all. Wine, when you pour wine, it bubbles, right? It makes noise. Shemen refers to the three upper spheres, machshava, shemen mishchaskaynish. That has this smoothness to it. Machshava, there's no sound. Yayin is 70, the seven lower spheres, chesed gvura, there it better be said. Rav Nilson said, you idiots think you're Rabbeinu Zal. Rabbeinu Zal was able to daven, he was on the level of, he could daven low, and there was no sweat with kavona. For people like us, you have to put all your koich, you know, daven tefillah b'koyach, and then maybe, you won't have other thoughts. Kulei haivi olai. And that's the truth. That's what applies to us. Hispoidatus can't be a relaxed kind of thing. I'm saying very seriously. If you're gonna see it, that's what happens. Whereas if you do it, I remember Leah mentioning to me that one of the things, you know, that was very unusual about Rebbe Zal, when you got to see a drop, was she said when he had hispoidatus in the house once or twice by his desk, she saw him, and she said she saw his face in such a crunched up look, contorted. That's the word I'm looking for. You could tell he was yelling his head off. Nobody heard a word, but he was yelling at the top of his lungs. And that's what's required. Hi, Nakasha, what if you're out on a bullet walk or something? You could be doing it even without the moving your face, even without the face being contorted. You could be saying, Hashem, please, you know, that kind of thing, where it's bekayach, your stomach is straining, and just the sound isn't coming out of your mouth.
Is that what it's supposed to be? You're supposed to have an hour of it?
You're supposed to elevate yourself. It's not easy. Start with 5 minutes like that. Try to make 5 minutes of the hour be like that. And to increase it like that. 100%. And there are days which are better, and there are days which are worse. There are, in other words, each person experiences some days where it's a miracle that you just get through an hour of just easy talking. And there are days when you'll find, if you get used to this, that you would go an hour like this, and you feel like the reaches, you feel tired out, you feel like you worked a 12-hour day with the hour of tefillah. And Rabbeinu Zal has a Torah later on where Rabbeinu Zal said that when a person finishes davening, he should be an inch away from dying. Just where if he would have done a drop more, he'd be out. It has to be like such kayach put into it that a millimeter more, his nefesh would go out. Nafshi yotza b'davar, that kind of feeling. That's tefillah. And when Leah mentioned that item, just thinking about it, I understand that's what's required. That's what's required.
There's a constant thing that exposes that you have to get to the level where only Hashem exists, even though you...
Exactly. That's another chapter where Ben Zal spoke about that. To be able to obliterate everything, like nope. If a person, while he's davening, feels people around him, it shows he hasn't gotten to real pure tefillah. Again, however, we should get to that level. Exactly. Kol demomodaka. Then there, huh? Because again, in other words, I don't know exactly technically why, but in a technical sense, Shemoneh Esrei is Olam Hatzilus. You go into the Hatzilus over there. It's forbidden to scream. It's forbidden to make any sound at all. That kind. Loi b'chayel Hashem, loi b'ruach, loi b'rash Hashem. You know, when Eliyahu Hanavi wanted to know, how is he going to know? Hashem said, go into the cave and I'll pass over the cave and you'll see the Shekhinah. Eliyahu Hanavi said, how am I going to recognize the presence of the Shekhinah? Hashem said, Loi barash. You'll hear a lot of noise, a lot of tumbling. Loi barash Hashem. Then you'll hear this. Loi barash Hashem. Then you'll hear a kail de momadaka, you'll know that that's when the Shekhinah is going by. So we see an illusion that it does exist, that concept. But it's only in one place. Over there it has to be this. I'll ask you from a halach standpoint, why is it that by Shema your ears must hear, and by Shemoneh Esrei your ears must not hear? You see right there a contradiction. Stira. If this is good, then this shouldn't work. The answer is it's two different. Here you have to yell, and here you have to be quiet. just like they bring that hespidus is the union of chashmal, itim choshos, itim. Even in hespidus, sometimes a person gets to a point where he's just plotting to such an extent that he can't even talk. What do you do then? You just you stand in silence, and you wait till words come to you. Chosh means quiet, mal means to speak. Chashmal, itim chosh. The Gemara says that there are malachim. Sometimes the malachim are silent, sometimes they talk. And Rabbi Yisrael has a whole piece, look at the malachim, where he says that that's the meaning of his spiders. Sometimes a person feels a flow of words, he's taught, and sometimes he can't talk. What should he do? He should be quiet. He should wait until he gets up words. And the quietness is part of the talking. It's part of this unbelievable light called chashmal. A little
child.
Right. Right. No. In other words, that's another aspect of tefillah, the pshitas that's involved. In other words, he was emphasizing the point of pshitas, but not meaning that a person doesn't have to be machriach himself with koyches. He wasn't addressing that issue there. With that incident, he was just addressing the topic of pshitas. That he said it with such simplicity. Hashem, please make the zeh the better. You know, that kind of word he said. And people were, oh, it's so cute. That's the furthest thing from what real tefillah is like. Rabbeinu said, baloney. Real tefillah has to be with that kind of pshit, with that kind of pshitas. But at the same time, with koyach. Look at Yikotamar, look at a few places where he mentions it. You can't say he's talking about taking a back seat, you know, doing it on a recliner. I'm saying seriously. That's what it is. Although, David HaMelech did it in bed, but he was screaming. Look at the word, Ka'ayel Taroig, Awafike Moim, Kenashi Saroig. Saroig means blasting. And that's what it is. That's what it is.
Well, was anything when we went to Lucia in Eretz Yisrael to be able to talk louder as Rabbi Zal. He didn't do that.
Exactly. And that was Kach Kibalu Me Rabbi Seder. We were taught by Rabbi Zal a certain way. We saw another tzaddik who had a different upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, my personal feeling is Eilu Vei Adivan Kim Chayim. As far as whether we should do what he did, I really don't know. I'm telling you honestly, I'm not an authority to say yes or no. In other words, this is the way I was brought up, so I would probably prefer doing it this way. But I definitely would not call it a crime in any way if somebody does it that way. That's it.
Well, I mean, if somebody feels more comfortable doing it the other way,
I don't know. If it's a Talmud of Rabbi Zal's, I don't know. If it's, again, the other way, you take a risk that it could be gaiva, you understand? It could be that people are hearing what I'm saying. You know, in other words, there are people who are on a level where they can do it no sweat. The one whom we saw, he could be doing it in front of 1,000 people, he wouldn't feel any cold. They could either buy us, I don't know if we could say that.
I don't know.
I don't either. I mean, talking out loud, where a person would hear what you're
saying.
I'm saying, even then, I don't know. Well, though in Shul, the Chadaydi, certain cases we saw Rabbi Zal said, do your best, try to daven b'koyach. Zmirai son Shabbos to Mincha, you know, it's got to be full volume. And anybody who does knows that he's insulting Rabbeinu Zal, he's insulting Hashem, Chas Hashem. Anybody who slouches at times like that, Chas Hashem, is married the Malchus. Okay, Baruch Hashem. Let's see if we can cover the next Torah. Torah Kuf Lamed Dalet. Rabbeinu Zal says, but again, you see, this Torah is a whole culture. In one Torah, he gave you a whole philosophy on what the world is like, what Gashmi is versus Ruchni is, what form it takes on, and he gave you a different perspective than you ever. You looked at it like two things competing against each other and everything. He's showing you how the Gemara and Erevin says what the setup is, what the situation is, how to look at it, and how easy it is to cast this aside, and at the same time, how good a job this little thing can do for blocking out that big thing. Rabbi Nezal says, Avoida Torah Ramadalid, Avoida Gedoila Leimar Torah Afilu Liyachid. Rabbi Nezal says it's a tremendous, great Avoida, a difficult effort to be able to teach Torah even to one person. It takes a lot. We'll see what that means, a lot of what in a minute. Kol Shkei L'Rabbi. Especially if one is teaching Torah publicly, it's a very difficult item. Why? Ki tzorech li zoher ma'oid. A person has to be extremely careful. Shelo yoimar dovor she'eno yiroi l'seichel ha'mekabel. That he shouldn't say something that's on a different level from the one who's going to receive what he's saying. It doesn't fit into this guy's brain. It's above or below then the speaker is in trouble. Ki hu b'chinas niyuf. Rabbeinu Zal says, if he does do that, if a person needs a shear, and the words that he's saying do not fit into the brains of the ones who he's addressing, either it's too big or too small, Rabbeinu Zal says that's like niyuf, that's like committing adultery, literally. Why? Rabbeinu Zal says, what is adultery? The wording in the Zohar, the wording in the Zohar Kodesh is shemashlich tipe hasechel ba'asah delo yitztarech v'nikro levatola. What is adultery? A person is obligated to be mashpia into his keli. A person gets married, he marries a wife, that wife is his keli, that's his vessel. He's supposed to pour into his keli. If he pours into a different keli, chas v'shalom, he's taking something that should have gone into one place, and it's going into a different place. That's what it is, literally. In other words, he's taking an ingredient that belongs in one cake mix, and he's taking a frosting and putting it into a chalom. Picture what that's like. That's the concept of niyuf. Rabbeinu Zal, you never tried that yet. Rabbeinu Zal says, the nikro levatola. That's called wasting. That's called the concept of a wasting seed. Ki einoi moilid, that's like klum, because it doesn't give birth to anything. When you teach somebody something that's above his level, that's wasting. You're planting a seed which it's wasted. To this person, it's not going to have any benefit at all. It's not going to do anything. Ulefa'omim nikro niyuf mamish. Rabbeinu Zal says there are times when it's called actual niyuf, actual znus. That the person actually gives birth to something just like a niyuf. If a person commits adultery and there's a child produced from it, that child is a mamzer, chas v'shalom. There are times when a person teaches somebody something, the teaching did not belong there, and yet it produces a child, meaning shamakabel, haynu shamakabel, oysal yedezeh, davar she'enu itzorech leilafi madregosay. Because you taught him this teaching, let's say that was too high for him, he reacts to it by doing certain acts of serving Hashem which don't belong to him. Those acts he's not allowed to do. It's not for him. And Rabbeinu Zal says that that's like creating a matzah, chas v'shalom. In other words, from this relationship, from this pouring in of zera, from the Rebbe into the Talmud, there's something born from it, an avodah that's a mamzer. The avodah is a stranger. Mamzer is a zor, a stranger that doesn't belong there. Okay, Rabbeinu Zal says, therefore, al yedei she'omer teira, yuchal chas v'shalom lehizgaber olav hayetzer b'tayim asniyuf. Rabbeinu Zal says, therefore, you should know that one who's put into a position where he has to say teira to people, Bechlal, it's possible for this type of niyuf to work against him a lot because it's this kind of concept. Valkein sorechli zoher mo'oyim. Therefore, a person has to be exceptionally careful. Kishoimer Torah barabim, when he says Torah in public, shediburav yischalku, that his words should split out. What was the word he used before for the rays of the sun? Diffuse. His words should diffuse properly. So that each individual who's listening should only hear what applies to him and not more. And although, hey, how do you do this? I'm speaking to 200 people. I can't say different words. I'm saying the same words to all 200 people. In concert, still. You have to work out a miracle whereby the only part that will go into each one's heart will be the part that pertains to him. And what doesn't pertain to him, he won't hear it, it won't go into his heart. The Zohar HaKadosh gives an example of this. The Zohar HaKadosh says that the Pasuk says, Vayishma Yisroi. Yisroi heard the whole story of the fact that the Red Sea was split and that the Jews defeated Amalek, and he came and he converted. The Zohar HaKadosh says, baloney, what's Vayishma Yisroi? Yisroi wasn't the only one who heard. Thousands of people heard. The Zohar HaKadosh asks, V'halai kuli alma shamu. The whole world heard. Why does it say Vayishma Ha'olam Vayavo Yisroi? That's what it should have said. Vayishma Ha'olam Vayavo Yisroi. That's not what it says. It says Vayishma Yisroi. The Zohar HaKadosh says, Elo Yisroi Shoma Ubo. It was set up in such a way where Yisroi was the only one who, when he heard the news, it caused him to come. All the other Goyim, who were not supposed to convert, heard the news and it did nothing for them. It didn't affect them in any way. The only one who changed out of it was the one whom Hashem wanted to change. So we see this concept of a message going out. The only one who's supposed to pick it up picks it up, and he reacts. The others should not pick it up and not react. Rabbi Elazar says, as the Zohar Kodesh, Yisrael Shabbat Ba, the Zehu, the Zohar Kodesh says over there, Zako Bad Demalel Al Udna De Shabbat. Ashrei to that person who is Zeche to speak to ears that listen. In other words, a person speaks, gives a shiur to 200 people, and all of them are sleeping, nobody's paying attention, or nobody's really paying attention, that the word should go into him and affect him. Ashrei to that person who is zeichet to speak to ears that listen, ears that are supposed to receive, and ears that receive and react to what they're hearing. This is what the Gemara says, Kol ha-godol me-chaveroi, anybody who's greater than his friend. He's greater, meaning what happens when one friend is greater than the other? What should two friends be doing? Studying Torah. If one is greater than the other, what does it mean? He's going to be the teacher. He's going to be the one that's teaching. Because he's greater, he's the one who says the Torah. The Gemara says, what's Stam Yetzer? Stam Yetzer is Niyuf. Because the type of Neof could attack him tremendously, he has to be very careful and to measure his words, to proportion his words just right, where he's going to word his statement in such a manner where this guy's going to get ticked off, and this guy won't even notice what I'm saying, and this one will hear it this much. Whole process. How does the person do this? Obviously it requires sechel. Again, you picture when Rebbe Zal gave a shir, you picture that number one, he had enough kiddushin, enough sechel in him to word things in such a way where a bomb goes off here and yet over here it doesn't. That's one aspect of it, chachma. And the other aspect is obviously only tefillah. Before a person goes to speak publicly or even privately, to speak to Hashem first, to say, Hashem, please give me the power, the privilege of being able to speak in a manner where nobody should hear what they're not supposed to hear. Each one should hear only what they're required to hear, and that my words should go in by that person and accomplish what they're supposed to accomplish. The Gemara says, "Kol mi sheyesh bo yirah shemayim dvarav yishmua," meaning that even if this guy has a stone wall up to prevent what I'm saying, the Gemara says that "Kolei na seramim," there's a guy who can speak and he has a power that his words come out like thunder, which crash right into the stone. The stone gets split, goes right into the person's heart. That's all totally in the speaker. He has to perfect himself religion-wise. He has to make himself real Yirei Shemayim for that. At the same time, he has to weigh his words super carefully. At the same time, he has to combat. He has to watch out specifically for this taiva. He's told that you should know that this taiva to you is going to be more difficult than other people under normal circumstances. And he has to daven to Hashem very much to be given this power, this knowledge, to be able to speak in such a manner where Vayishma Yisrael, where Yisrael will hear and come, and another one will hear and will leave. These words, which will cause this guy to leave, will cause this guy to come, and that's the way it's supposed to happen. Instead of Chas V'Shalom, the one who was supposed to leave becomes inspired by the words, and he sticks around, and one whom you should have brought close to the Kiddushah, the fact that you spoke a little bit off color, you got him to leave, and you get patched for causing a mishap, you know, a mistake to happen.
You say that the main Rebbe accomplishes this is through rather than Sefer, or is there both equally wise?
Definitely Tefillah more. Definitely, because this is not some, again, it's
not something
that
you can figure out totally.
Exactly. This is something that Hashem has to give up.
He can doubt the time of Hashbacha that it would always work out that way.
100%. He could, he must. He must.
So there's one.
Rabbi says this refers to a crowd or even a fellow Terbi Yachin.
Let's say Rosh Yeshiva or someone who doesn't even know about this concept, their teaching of Torah is deficient then.
Yes, not deficient. It could be Neof. He could create a Mamzer Chas V'Shalom. He could be telling this guy to sit there and learn Gemara Tosfos, and this guy should be reading Mesilas Yesharim just to become religious, and he'll learn the Gemara Tosfos for a day, and he'll leave the yeshiva after a year and become a total bum Chas V'Shalom, be eating treif, and it's on this one's head because he generated a Mamzer Chas V'Shalom. He actually created a Mamzer. That's the way he's explained. And you see the explanation fits. You're planting seeds. What is Torah? Seeds. You're planting seeds. You plant a seed in the wrong place. That's Nif. That's what it's called.
Is it something that might be since the final of the Kriya Council for untold that certain men in all the nations were trying to equally ben off, leave a shame?
I don't know. I never came across it. Baruch Hashem, this is from the Holbit. Interesting. Each era is like a whole culture. It's a whole different analyzation of the world of life.
Yes, they have their own little coach that come from Edom and tell them the story.
It's the best example. Rabbi Elazar told over the Megillah story. It's good that there were three people at the time. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tolly Zahar, and another one. And once Rabbi Elazar started talking, they sort of tried to motion to him that they didn't think that he would want this guy to hear. Rabbi Elazar told him, don't worry, he hears nothing. He's not here. He was sitting there looking at him, everything, and just blank look. Rabbi Elazar had power physically. He was talking, this guy's ears couldn't hear.
Was he just the guy
in
the coach?
Yeah, not a coach, a different Talmud that was with him at the time, only he was very distant, and it was obvious to him that there's no way in the world Rabbi Elazar would be saying this in front of him. Rabbi Elazar said, don't worry. And they asked him afterwards, the story's written in Kirch Nira. They asked him, what was Rabbi Elazar doing on the coach, do you remember? He said, he was looking around. You know.
Wow. I was walking in the streets with him, you know. Sometimes it just happened, you know, he would just be talking, and, you know, obviously he knew, you know, doing his own. Sometimes you caught things, sometimes you just didn't catch things, you know. It was
each with the power of a tzaddik, that each one hears what he's supposed to hear. That's what it is. Elamai, you see, Rabbi Elazar mentions here, Zakomana, that there's the ears also. In other words, this Torah isn't just addressing the speaker. Make sure that your ears, Vayish Vayisrael, Yisrael had his ears turned up, he heard what he was supposed to hear.
So, this is down for his own ears.
So, no, there's really not a sharp eye line, like in English. Like if Sarkis Nefer says, they rouse from above and rouse from below. There's really no sharp dividing line where one ends off and one begins, right?
Of course. I'm saying both are employed. Different. There's variations.
There's an overlap.
Of course. 100%.